understood Rasulullah properly, I will not be able to understand how Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam was in his life. Let me give you one or two examples of the character of Rasulullah. And as I said, revisit his life. Tonight, as you sit and listen to these two stories, check yourself and myself. Firstly, myself, before I preach it to anyone else. Let me check myself against these two stories and see the character of Rasulullah and as to whether we, the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, are in line with these characteristics of Rasulullah today in the 21st century. The first one, in regards to his life, comes to us from Surah Al-Kahf, chapter number 18 of the Holy Quran, verse number 4. There is a verse that is revealed about Rasulullah and the way in which he was with people. The verse says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئًا نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِحَادَ الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. O Prophet, you will almost die in a state of grief because of how much you love these people and how much you want them to be guided by the truth. Think about this. You will almost be overcome with grief. You will almost die of grief. That's not a small amount, is it? If you were to grieve so hard for something that you actually almost die over it, how much must your body, your internal body and mind, shake by that grief? You know, when someone loses their mother, when someone loses their brother, when someone loses their husband, because there is such a level of attachment, only then can one understand what the level of grief is. But did you nearly die over that grief? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Rasulullah, you will almost die of grief from how much you love these people. What happened? There was an incident that is narrated about this verse. The incident was, one day someone came to Rasulullah and gave him a gift. It was a gift of an abba, a beautiful red cloak. Now this cloak was very expensive. And not just very expensive, it was very thick. Why? Because of course, as you know, if you've been to Mecca in the time of winter, it can get pretty cold, can't it? And therefore, the man gave him a beautiful, thick, red abba so that during the winter cold, Rasulullah was protected from the cold. You know, Rasulullah, of course, lived a life of paucity and poverty. And therefore, of course, a gift like this would have been very useful for him. What do you think he did with that particular gift? He could have kept it for himself. He folded it up and he walked to the house of someone in order to give it to them as a gift. Who do you think he gave it to as a gift? Did he give it to Amir al-Mu'mineen? No. Did he give it to one of his companions? No. He gave this gift to his greatest of enemy in order to find a way of some sort of reciprocal relationship between the two of them. He knocks on the door of Abu Jahl. Is there any need for me to tell you who Abu Jahl was? His name signifies itself. If Aba Abdullah is the father of all servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is Abu Jahl? The father of all ignorant people before Iblis. Can there be a greater enemy to Rasulullah than someone like Abu Jahl? He knocks on the door of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl opens the door. Oh Abu Jahl, I have brought a gift for you. Please take this. All I want is the opportunity to discuss God with you. All I want is the opportunity to engage in dialogue with you. Because there might be one moment where your heart opens towards Haqq. What do you think Abu Jahl did? His name is Abu Jahl for a reason. What did he do? I'm paraphrasing. He slams the door in the face of Rasulullah. Rejects him entirely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this kind of verse down. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئًا نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. You will almost die of grief because of how much you want these people to be guided. How much you love humanity. You see, here, our problem is that we don't follow Rasulullah, or at least I don't follow Rasulullah, and mold myself around his character. When I have an enemy, I end up giving la'na on him, or I end up swearing at him, or I end up wishing ill upon him, or I end up hoping that something bad happens so that I can laugh at him, or that I spread rumors and gossip about him, or when he tries to become higher in the community, I pull him down. Look at the way Rasulullah was that with that individual. His greatest of enemies, he loved him. Listen to my words. He loved him so much that he went there in order to guide him in such a manner. It makes us think, doesn't it? It makes us think about how we really are with our family, with our friends, with those who oppose us, those who are our enemies, those who within the community, outside the community, try to bring us down. How have I acted and how did Rasulullah act? We've already told this story on the night of Adam alayhi salam, but I want to repeat it. فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remind, because reminding is good. So therefore, if I was to repeat the story every night, it would be okay, in theory. The incident on the 10th of Muharram, حُسَيْنٌ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنَ الْحُسَيْنِ. Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. Our spirituality is the same. The way you see me conduct myself with my enemies, Rasulullah would be implying, is the way Hussein ibn Ali would be with his own enemies. What did happen? What happened on the 10th of Muharram? The narration says that Aba Abdullah was all alone on the plains of Karbala. His Akbar has been killed, his Abbas has been killed, his Azghar has been killed. He's alone and he's fighting his enemies. As he stands in front of them, he begins to weep and cry. What did the verse say? You will almost die of grief because of how much you want these people to be guided. He's crying in front of his enemies. 30,000 unsheathed swords baying for his blood. One of them calls out, Mimma buka ya Aba Abdullah. Why do you cry, Aba Abdullah? Aba Abdullah al-Hussein could have responded, I am crying because you just slaughtered my Azghar. I am crying because in a few minutes you will enslave my sisters Zainab and Kulthum. If he had responded in that way, it would have been a befitting response, wouldn't it? He should be crying for their deaths. He doesn't say that. He responds, لِمَاذَا تَذْهَبُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ بِالسَّبَبِ. Why are you sending yourselves towards hell because of me? Why? I have such love for all of you as humanity. Why are you sending yourselves to hell forever for my sake? Look at this grand human being that even with those people that are about to slaughter him, he's crying for them on their behalf. When someone says something about me, I end up cursing them, I end up abusing them, I end up saying things to remove their reputation within the community. Look at the difference between me and Rasulullah. Look at the difference between me and Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Here we see a true human being. A true human being. Someone that is not lower than the beasts. Someone that is higher than the angels. You know the true test tonight? You know the true test tonight to prove that you're like and have taken a glimpse of Rasulullah into your life? Taking a glimpse of Aba Abdullah into your life, act like them tonight. Each and every one of us here, each and every one of us here will have someone that has hurt us. And we will believe that we were in the right over those actions, correct or not? It may be family, it may be an old friend, maybe an old business partner. Someone has done something to you in your life where it has hurt you so badly and that you've held that grudge until today. The human being that follows Rasulullah, the human being that follows Aba Abdullah, would love that individual so much even though he has hurt you to the core of your humanity. The test upon you now, the test upon you tonight, is to stand in your Salat al-Layl. And when you are permitted to do istighfar for 40 people, make that person that's hurt you the most in your life the first person you seek forgiveness for tonight. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئًا نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Rasulullah would have done that. He would have stood. Aba Abdullah would have stood and begged forgiveness for that person until it was too late for that person. If there is someone that has hurt you tonight, are you able to let go of that and beg forgiveness for that person? These are the human beings that we should be following. Their character is such that they are so high that this is the way in which they were with people. One last example from the characteristics of Rasulullah to really make it hit home as to where we as the followers and lovers of Rasulullah need to truly be at. A famous narration that many of us will have heard and many of us will have recounted many a time in our life. The narration states that one day Rasulullah is sitting with his wife, Aisha. As he's sitting with his wife, a Jew walks past him and says to him, Assalamu alaykum. Not Assalamu alaykum, Assalamu alaykum. Assalamu alaykum means peace be upon you. Assalamu alaykum means may death be upon you. The Jew walked past and literally made a curse against Rasulullah. May death be upon you. Rasulullah responded, Wa alaykum, and upon you as well. If you said one to me, I'll say one to you. It's equal, it's an eye for an eye. A second Jew walked past and said exactly the same thing. The third Jew walked past and said exactly the same thing. When the third one walked past and said it, this infuriated Aisha to the point that she began to be foul-mouthed and abuse the Jews that had walked past. O sons of dogs and monkeys and apes, may God do this to you and may God do that to you. Rasulullah said, O Humaira, please don't say these sorts of things. Words have a manifestation. If words were to manifest themselves, your words just now would have become ugly in front of us. And if you were to say beautiful words, they would have become a beautiful adornment for us. The fact that you have abused, the fact that you say such words, these things are dirty words. They are abusive words. Don't say these sorts of things. You see, unfortunately, until today, we still have our Shia that use foul and abusive words against others within the Muslim Ummah. Rasulullah told Aisha, don't do that. Yet we still have people that want to do that. We haven't figured yet the personality of Rasulullah. We claim to be his followers. We don't even read on his life. We don't realize how he engaged with his community. We don't stop to mold ourselves around the thaqalain in order that I really imbibe its lessons into my heart. In this way, when it said, Husaynun minni wa ana min al-Husayn, Husayn is the inheritor of the spirituality of Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya waritha Muhammadin Habibillah. If Rasulullah was the Habib of Allah, and Husaynun minni wa ana min al-Husayn, then Husayn ibn Ali is also the Habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is nothing less than the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is narrations to say that certain sins shake the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Correct? Lies shake the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deceit shakes the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. what happened at the beheading of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The narration from the sixth Imam, where he comes to his companions and says, O Zurara, the skies wept for 40 days at the beheading of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Imagine the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the slaughtering of his beloved on the 10th of Muharram. In that line, from Hadith al-Kisa, if Aba Abdullah is designated as being Ya Shafi' Ummati, the great intercessor of my community, you already know what the station of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain individuals who have been given the title Babul Hawa'ij, the gateway towards the acceptance of the Hajats. Our seventh Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam is Babul Hawa'ij. Ali al-Akbar is Babul Hawa'ij. And Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is Babul Hawa'ij. There is a story narrated by one of the prayer leaders, the Imam of Salatul Jama'ah in Holy Karbala, in the shrine in Haram of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. The event says that one day a mother and father brought their child, a sick child, to the dharih of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. And this child had been given no more time by the doctors. He has 3 days, 5 days, 7 days to live. We do not have the medicines to cure this child. And therefore the mother and father took this baby and left it and kept it attached to the dari of Abu al-Abbas. And they said to him, O Abbas, you are Babul Hawa'ij. We will not leave our child. We will not take him away. And we will not take this child away until you ensure that he is interceded for with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, night one passes, night two passes, nothing changes. That night, the Imam of Salatul Jama'ah in the shrine of Abu Fadl al-Abbas sees a dream. And in the dream, he sees three lights in front of him. And he sees a communication taking place between these three lights. Which lights are these? The first one is Abu Fadl al-Abbas. The second is Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the third is Rasulullah. The conversation, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas turns towards Amir al-Mu'mineen and says to him, Oh my dear father, these two parents have knocked at my shrine and said that they have left this baby on the purpose of having my intercession to ensure that this child is cured. Oh father, please take this request to Rasulullah so that Rasulullah can take it to Jibra'il and Jibra'il can take it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen turns to Rasulullah and says, You have heard this intercession cry from Babul Hawa'ij. Please, will Allah accept this? Rasulullah turns to Jibra'il Amin. Jibra'il Amin takes this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns and says to Jibra'il Amin, and Jibra'il returns to Rasulullah. Rasulullah turns to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Amir al-Mu'mineen turns to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. What was the reply? The reply is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that this child is going to die. There is no intercession for him. I am sorry, there is nothing that can be done. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas says, Oh my dear father, no. I am Babul Hawa'ij. Please again petition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And so the request goes back to Rasulullah, to Jibreel, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A second time, the answer comes back, no, I'm sorry. I have decided that this child will be no longer. I have decided that this child will die. There is no intercession from Babul Hawa'ij. As this message is returned in the dream to Abul Fadl al-Abbas, Abbas turns and says, oh my father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has made me Babul Hawa'ij. The community know me as Babul Hawa'ij. They have placed their absolute trust in me. I do not want this title if people come to me and I cannot fulfill their requests for them. If this is the case, please tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this title of Babul Hawa'ij from me. Amir al-Mu'mineen passes this message back up towards Rasulullah. Rasulullah passes this message back towards Jibreel. Jibreel turns to Allah and says, Abba Abul Fadl al-Abbas has said, if this is the case, I don't want to be known as Babul Hawa'ij. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns a response. It turns to Jibreel Amin, back to Rasulullah, down to Ali ibn Abi Talib, who turns to Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Oh Abbas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designated you to be Babul Hawa'ij. If this is the case, Allah will never change. He has given you this title. He will change the outcome of this child, and indeed this child will become better. The alim woke up. He went toward the masjid in order to lead the prayer. He goes straight back towards the dari. Where is the father? Where is the mother? Where is the child? They respond and said, oh man, oh Shaykh who leads the prayer, don't you know Abul Fadl al-Abbas has turned to the request and this child was granted the intercession this morning. They have taken this child away. This is Abul Fadl al-Abbas. His purpose was to defend Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designated Aba Abdullah as Shafi'a Ummati, no wonder Abu Fadl al-Abbas is designated as Babul Hawa'ij. And as such, on this day, as it came to that time when Abu Fadl al-Abbas turned towards his master Hussein, he says, oh master, please allow me to enter into the battlefield. Please allow me to go and get water for these children. The cries of Al-Atash is so much, it is burning my heart. I cannot bear to hear Sakina crying out, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. I cannot bear to see Ali al-Azghar put out his tongue. I cannot bear to see him in this state. Please allow me to go. Aba Abdullah al-Hussein responds and says to him, O Abbas, why would you go? If you go, then where will be my army? How is it that I can allow you to go? Abbas responds and says, oh my master Hussein, which army do you speak about? There is no one left for me to train. There is no one left for me to put the armory on. There is no one left for me to give a shield to. Which army do you speak about, master? It is just me and you left now on the 10th of Muharram. At this point, he turns to him and says to him, oh Abbas, I will allow you to enter in towards the battlefield, but my condition to you is, do not take your sword. Only go in order to bring the water for Sakina. We ask you, O Hussein, why? Because Abbas was such a warrior that if he had taken his sword, Allah would have willed that all 30,000 would have been destroyed by the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. At this point, he comes towards the tents and wishes his sisters farewell. There is that famous line which the Zakirin say, that on the night of Ashura, each and every one of the women were preparing their children and saying, oh child, tomorrow do not disappoint me. Tomorrow you will go for Hussein ibn Ali. But there was one lady who was left alone without a child. Lady Umm Kulthum is sitting alone. She is crying. Oh Allah, how is it that I have no one to give tomorrow? Oh Allah, I dare not face my mother Fatima on the day of judgment without giving anyone. Abbas is walking past at this moment and hears this statement from Lady Umm Kulthum. He comes towards the tent and says, oh my dear Auntie Umm Kulthum, I will be your sacrifice tomorrow on the 10th of Muharram before Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Imagine the status of Lady Umm Kulthum, that her sacrifice is the one that Ali ibn Abi Talib gave, is the one that her mother Fatima prayed for. And then she turns, he turns in towards that camp and bids farewell to each and every one of the children, to each and every one of the ladies. At this point, we imagine what must have been the tumult within the household. This man who is the protector of everyone, Zainab salamullahi alayha, comes towards him and says, oh my brother Abbas, oh my brother Abbas, before our father Ali passed away from this world, he sat with me and told me that one day my hijab would be snatched from me. One day our children would be persecuted and slapped. He told me one day I would return to Kufa where my hands would be bound, where people would be throwing stones at me. He told me one day that people would throw boiling water on us. He told me one day that people would set fire to my hijab. At this time, I could never understand how this would be whilst you were alive, Abbas. You would never have allowed this to happen. Now I see you leave the tents. Now I know this day has come upon me, that this trial will befall upon Zainab. Now I know what is about to happen to us. Abbas puts himself upon that steed. As he goes out, the narrations say that he was such a giant of a man that his legs would come towards the floor. One maqtal says that when they came to rebuild the shrine and the grave of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, they came to Sayyid Bahrul Ulum and they came and said, oh Sayyidina, we had heard in the maqatil that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was so tall. We had heard that he was a giant of a man, but we see his grave to be so tiny. His grave is so small. It is like a child's grave. Tell me, O Sayyid, how is it that the grave is so small when the maqatil says that he is so tall? Imam, what happened to your brother Abbas? He came and he sat down on the floor. Sayyid Bahlul Ulum began to cry. He said, yes, he was a giant of a man, but when he fell, the maqtal says they cut him, قَطَّعُوا إِرْبًا إِرْبًا, that they cut him into small pieces. They cut the body of Abu al-Fadl Abbas into small pieces. Abbas enters in towards the battlefield. He has the alam with him. The flag of Abu al-Fadl Abbas is in front of him. He has his spear. He fights the enemies. And he gets down towards the water. I ask you, imagine that moment where he picks up that cool water. Oh soul, this water is for Sakina. Do not drink this water for yourself. He puts the water into the mashk. As he takes this water, he puts himself back onto the horse. Now Abbas is returning back towards the tents. I ask you to imagine when that alam, that flag, was going towards the water, going towards the river Furat. Can you imagine what Sakina must have been seeing? The narration said that she was standing, watching, observing that her uncle Abbas was going towards the water. Imagine now when the flag begins to return back towards her. Sakina thinks that the water is coming back to quench her thirst. Sakina, the leader of the children, she thinks the water is coming to quench her thirst. I imagine Sakina must have gone towards Asghar and said, Asghar, do not cry. My uncle Abbas is on the way back. I see the alam of Abbas returning from the river Furat. In a few more minutes, your thirst will be quenched. Do not cry, Asghar. Oh, Muhammad Baqir, do not cry. The water will be with you in a few more minutes. At this moment, the enemies surround them. They surround Abu Fadl al-Abbas. One narration says that when Hulmala was captured, when Mukhtar al-Thaqafi began to capture all the enemies of God, he captured Hulmala and he asked him before he put him to death, tell me about the different arrows that you shot on the 10th of Muharram. Hulmala says, I shot several arrows. One of the arrows that I shot was the arrow that killed Abdullah ibn Hassan whilst he was being held in the arms of Abu Abdullah. Another arrow that I shot was the three-pronged arrow that embedded itself into the neck of Ali ibn al-Asghar. Another arrow that I shot was filled with poison, and I struck this into the stomach, in the gut of Hussein ibn Ali. But there was one more arrow that I shot on the 10th of Muharram, and that was the arrow that pierced the eye. That was the arrow that pierced the eye. Which eye? The eye that would look after Hussein. The eye that would look after Zainab ibn Umm Kulthum. That eye is about to be pierced. Hulmala takes the arrow into his bow, he stretches it back, and he fires this arrow into the eye of Abu Fadl al-Abbas. The blood gushes forth onto his face. At this moment, he is blinded by the amount of blood coming towards him. They surround his horse. They begin to strike him on his body. He continues to try to go towards the camp. One person comes to the left arm of Abu Fadl al-Abbas. He raises his sword. He slices the arm of Abu Fadl al-Abbas. Abbas's arm falls. He transfers the mushkin towards his right hand. At this point, he comes and strikes the right arm of Abu Fadl al-Abbas. At that moment, he pushes the mushkin to his mouth. Oh soul, do not give up. This water is for the son of Fatima al-Zahra. He continues to ride. Another arrow is struck. This one pierces the water. The hope of Zainab, the hope of Sakina, begins to flood onto the floor of Karbala. At this point, what does he do? He begins to turn his horse into the enemies. I will not go back empty-handed. The narrations say they strike him with arrow after arrow after arrow. They begin to throw their spears at Abbas. At this moment, he begins to fall from his horse. In one maqtal, one alim says, I recited the maqtal of Abu Fadl al-Abbas. That night when I fell asleep, I saw Fatima al-Zahra in the dream. Zahra came to me and said, oh Shaykh, you recited the great tragedy of my son Abu Fadl al-Abbas, but you did not recite the greatest tragedy. She says, oh Zahra, oh Lady of Light, but I recited that he went towards the water. I recited that he had his arms cut. I recited that he had his eye struck. Fatima says, no, this is not the greatest tragedy to ever befall my son. Tell me, O Lady of Light, what is the greatest tragedy to befall your son Abbas? She says, O Shaykh, have you ever imagined a person to fall from their horse? Every other martyr had their arms to break their fall. My son Abbas, when he fell from the horse, he did not have his arms to break his fall. He had an eye. He had an eye with an arrow inside it. As he fell towards the floor, he landed on his face. Abbas fell onto the floor at this moment. As he is lying on the ground, he calls out, oh my master Hussein, come towards me for the final time. He comes towards him, Imam al-Hussein. He calls out, Abbas, now my back has been broken. How can the Abu Abdullah stand at this moment? He comes towards his dear brother. He comes and sits beside him. He says to him, oh my dear brother. And he begins to wipe his face. He begins to clear the blood from him. He says to him, oh my master, I have a request for you. What is that request, O Abbas? Please leave my body here by the banks of the Euphrates. I had promised Sakina that I would bring water for her. I feel embarrassed that I didn't bring him. Please do not bring my body back for Sakina to see. She will be so hurt that Abbas has fallen. Please leave my body like this. At this moment, Hussein turns to his brother and says, "Oh my brother, if you had one final request for me, I have a request for you as well. All your life, you have called me master. In this last words of yours, do not call me master. I wish to embrace you and bid you farewell as my brother. Abbas, call me my brother for one final time." ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إن لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Please raise your hands and join us in dua. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the hastening of the reappearance of the awaited Savior. We ask you, Ya Allah, allow us to be alongside Him at all times in our life and in our death. We ask you, Ya Allah, if we are to pass away from this world before His coming, raise us from our graves that we may partake in the victory of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, there are many people around the world going through such desperate times. Those people who are in a state of poverty, homelessness, lack of education, lack of medicine, oppression, war. Grant them all safety, security and victory. Bihaqqi Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. We ask you, Ya Allah, in the final moments of our life, allow us to die in the love of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and raise in the day of judgment with Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There is a small announcement to be made that on the day of Ashura, on Friday, the English Maqtal, the story of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, will begin before the Jum'ah khutbah. 11:45 sharp, inshaAllah, we will start with the Maqtal of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, followed by Jum'ah khutbah. And we will move on to the maqtal of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Urdu, and thereafter we will break for our lunch. We would humbly request that everyone come and start the program from 11:45 a.m. so we may all listen to the maqatil of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad.